can speak over the mic. Well, should I? Oh, okay.
I don't usually lead worship and preach, but while in Zambia, let's do it, huh? Yeah, I believe in that God has called us as a priesthood of all believers, and we each one has a part to play. So even though I'm doing something like filling every space, it's actually the call of every one of us as a body of Christ to actually come together and be the church. But I'm here to serve you guys and to, I'm excited to what I want to share. But let us just read together a scripture out of Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. If you've been in 412, you might have heard this a few times. If you, like as a 412 congregation, it's okay if I stand here. Yeah, okay, cool. Let's just read together. We'll be up there. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, shared everything they had. They sold their property, their possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to the fellowship those who were being saved. And just one more scripture in Acts 4 verse 32. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt what they earned was not their own, and they shared everything they had. And I want to come and speak to us today about it's better to be together. It's so difficult to do something alone. But if you have family around you, the church family, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, I love the church. I love the church dearly. And it's one of my favorite. Yeah, just to see people worshiping. And even this morning, just seeing how God is kind of moving in people's hearts. It's the beauty of actually worshiping Jesus together as the church. And so I'll be speaking about just the beauty of the church and that it's better for us to be together as a congregation. And I'll be using three words today. Abide, belong, and contribute. So as we read through Acts, we're going to highlight those three words. And I want you to look up, even seeing them, if you can see them. Abide being this relationship with Jesus. Prayer, worship, build on the foundation, the scriptures of Jesus, led by the Spirit. That's the abiding part of us. The belonging is that we are part of a family. We belong to one another. We're not our own. We actually belong to one another. And then the third thing is that we have a part to play. That's contribute. ABC. It's very easy, no? It's better to be together. ABC. That's all you need to remember today. But I'll share some other stuff in between, but some of those that you can remember, go for it. So I want to share with you a story of how I grew up. I came out of a very conservative congregation. Where you would go to meetings, there was no other in-between connection in the week. There was just a Sunday meeting, and it was an hour long, and you can preach about everything, but don't preach over the hour. So it was like, it was a kind of a very strict, and there was a stand, sit, there was the moves in our worship, and the reverend would kind of say those things and lead us in those things. And so I've been in this congregation. My dad was a deacon in that congregation, and he was also he did Sunday school for us. And I don't know if the homes in Zambia is the same, but in South Africa where we grew up, in the homes, not some more this day, you have this open plan
homes these days, but in the house that I grew up, and some of those that I've seen as a kid, it was like as you come in, there was this entry, and then there was this lounge. It was the one that was perfect. The best couches, the most beautiful beds. I mean, the kids were not allowed to play in there, because it was the room that when people come visit, they can go into that room. And then when the dominie comes, when the reverend came, that was the room where we received it. In the place that is perfect. Nothing is out of place. It is just beautiful. And I remember we broke that vase once when we played cricket in there. But it is like, it is the place that we got a really nice idea. Can I say that word yet? But if you just went past that room, that's where it got real. It was messy. I mean, my dad was an alcoholic. There was shouting, plates breaking, a lot of verbal abuse. Grow up in that chaos. And then we have this one space that is perfect. And I think sometimes we as Christians live that way. We have our church space. And we keep people in that room, in that space where everything, where we sort of have it together. And then the other areas where we don't have it together, we don't invite people in. Because what are they going to think about us? Will they judge? But if you read the scriptures in the first church, it was not like that. It was that they had all things in common. They were in one another's homes. They didn't have like, you can come so far and then stay there. They were together. And I want to tell you this morning, it's better for us to be together than to be alone. Who of you have seen, like you guys probably Brian here or something. It's like, it's Africa. But if you see a coal, if you take one of the coals out of the fire and you put it on its alone, what happens to it? It dies. But if you take that same coal and you bring it back into the fire, it burns. And so in our spiritual lives also, the same thing. If we move out of the family that God has given us, we grow cold. But as we drew closer to other believers, there's something beautiful that happens in our hearts. And in that same church that I actually spoke about, I never heard the gospel for 14 years. Until my teacher, the one that told me, hey, you can actually give your life to Jesus. What? I'm going to hell. I'm a very good person going to hell. I did all the right things, but I was actually straight going to hell because I did not receive Jesus in my life. And that evening, I prayed a prayer and I received the Lord as my Savior. We joined a similar church because we moved. And in that church, the reverend was full of the Spirit. And I encountered more of Jesus than I've ever encountered. So it's not necessarily about the church, but it was the specific one that I was in. It wasn't part of. It wasn't that, in a sense, that what I read about in the Bible. And so I want to go and I want to use these three words. You'll be okay. It's not going to be too long. I won't have an African preach, which is, I think we have time to 4 o'clock this afternoon. But let me highlight a few things. The first verse in Acts 2:42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship and the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And what's interesting about the scripture, it says, all believers. Okay, and some translations say they devoted themselves. So what happened before this verse? Well, Acts 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Suddenly there was a moment when the Holy Spirit came. There was chaos. People were speaking in tongues. It was loud, and they were bewildered. The Bible says actually they were bewildered. They were like, what is this? They're hearing these people speaking their languages. And so Peter gets up. And he starts preaching to this crowd. And he shares basically, in their understanding, he's sharing the gospel with them. And at a point, he's kind of saying, but you have crucified this Jesus, which I'm speaking about. And then they say, brothers, we are cut to the heart because of what you have shared. That's how I felt in that day when that teacher told me, hey, you actually need to give your life to Jesus. But these guys, they were seeing the life of Jesus and they were cut to the heart. And then they said, what should we do? And he says, repent and be baptized. That's what you need to do. So all of them repented and they baptized. And then the very next verse is all the believers. So this portion of scripture, who does this apply to?
All believers.
Is there any believers in this place? Okay, so any believers? Yeah. Should we do a salvation call? Okay, are we all believers in here?
Yeah.
Okay, so this, what I'm going to read now, applies to you. Not just to Morris, not just to Eric, to each and every one of us. It says all believers, each and every one of us. And then it says, they devoted themselves. It was willingly. Nobody forced them. God did something in their hearts when the Holy Spirit was. It was an inward thing. It was abiding that was happening. And He did something so powerful in their hearts that they actually. The word devote means I just want to get this right. Continued steadfastly. They eagerly gave themselves for this one thing. Now there's a few things in this first verse. I'm going to focus on the first one, which is fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. When you gave your life to Jesus, you were not just called into a relationship with Jesus. You were called into a relationship with one another. With one another. We can't be a Christian me alone in Jesus. God has called us to be part of family. And we see this. This is the first time this word fellowship is used in the Bible. And there's this law, the thing in the Bible about the law of first mention. When something is first mentioned in the Bible, we need to take note. So the word fellowship, it means something like this. That, where am I now? Let me use an example to explain. There were two guys. They wanted to start a business. A fishing business. So both of them invested finances to buy a boat. They both got in the boat. And they rowed with the boat. They mend the nets together. They threw the nets out. It's in the old times. Today we use rods, but in that time. Maybe I saw the Kariba, they still use the nets. But they threw, and then they shared the fish together. It was two fellows in the ship. It's fellowship. Two fellows in the ship. That's what fellowship is all about. It's not just being in the same place at the same time. It's there's a coming together. And we are all part. There's a sharing of what the purpose is, of what we are here to. It's not just here to sit in a seat and to fill a seat. If you are a believer, God has called you into fellowship. Fellows in a ship. Doing, rowing together. Sharing in the rewards. Sharing in the victories. Sharing in the hardship of rowing. And it's difficult. And it's in the church, in this fellowship, that we get to practice forgiveness. Yeah. Who of you have been hurt by somebody in church? Yeah. Yeah. It's very nice, like, we can say, we can put on our church face that first room, hey, hello, I'm back in church, and we smile at one another, but I'm actually, I'm angry, you stepped on my toe. And like, it was like, or you didn't greet me this morning. And or you said something in a meeting and there comes a face. But the beauty of fellowship is we get to practice what Jesus did. And we get to forgive. We get to repent and say, sorry, I've missed it. We get to practice that. We all have part in that fellowship together. And this word, which is the word koinonia, don't take me my pronunciation as the correct one. I'm not even going to try. But it means to share in something together. A deep connection. An active partnership. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16. It says, it speaks about communion. The same word is used there. And it says this, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? Sharing? That's the word koinonia. Like when we partake of the body of Christ that was broken for us. It's the same word that's used for what Jesus is wanting us to have with one another. It's deep. It's a deep connection. And then it says, and when we break the bread, aren't we sharing the body of Christ? And now it says, they devoted themselves to this deep connection with one another. Where somebody's going to step on your toe and offend you, and you can forgive them. You can love them. When there are moments where you are really in a difficult situation, where we need to pray for your son, there's fellowship and there's a sharing of life together. We can pray and deeply connect with one another. Because we are more than just a gathering of people that puts on our church faces and then we go back home. We're family. This is who we are. We share our lives. And yesterday, even when we were in Cabway, I said, it's a very vulnerable thing to actually feel that you want to share, because what if people judge me? What if they hurt me when I do that? What if I open up and I get hurt again? Maybe I have been hurt when I did open up. I want to challenge this congregation. I'm saying, can this be a safe place where we can share our lives? Where we know that we as family are safe with one another? Huh? Can we pray that? Can we trust that we can actually have the freedom to share our lives in a way that we can? It's the same word that is used for partnership of churches. That fellowship. When Wellington AM comes to Susama and there's a partnership. It's not an outreach for us. There's a partnering with what God is doing here. And God is doing stuff in our hearts. And He's doing things in our hearts together. There's a sharing of life together. That's what this fellowship means all about. Here's one of my favorite scriptures. It will be... I skipped that one part. So the first one's abiding, which is this relationship with Jesus. Fellowship is the belonging. Okay, so if you lost me, let me just... Those who are taking notes, as you just know where I am in my notes. Okay, but this verse is one of my favorite in 1 John 1, verse 1 to 3. It says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We are speaking to you about this Jesus. We have heard him and we have seen him. And now, John is actually saying, like, I'm proclaiming to you not just a hoax, somebody that didn't exist. We have seen him. We've heard his speaking. We've heard his voice. We're proclaiming this Jesus to you. The one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen, we saw him with our own eyes. We touched him. Do you hear the personal? We touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us. He was born as a baby in a manger. He grew up. He lived a life without sin. He died the death that we should have died. He hung on that cross and he paid the penalty for our sin. He was revealed to them as the Savior. And then he rose from the dead. And nobody could keep them quiet to proclaim about this Jesus who rose from the dead. It is so amazing. And then it goes on and it says, we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship. We're sharing the gospel with you so that you may have fellowship. That you can come into this family that we are part of. So that you can partake of his body that was broken, the same that we partake of it.
That his blood that is paid, that is washed away, is the same blood that washes
you also clean. We proclaim this Jesus to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and Jesus Christ. This is it's a deep connection. It's a sharing. It's not just let's drink tea or let's have a bribe.
That when we have a bribe, we don't just speak about how badly the Springboks won yesterday. I didn't watch the game, but I saw the score was very close. But at a bribe, we actually share what Jesus has done in our lives. We are bold enough to actually speak about what Jesus has done in our lives.
Or we share the hard things that we want others to pray with us. Where life actually becomes real. It is doing life together. Can I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
Okay. Are you still here?
Yes.
Okay, should I do a dance to wake you up? It's going to be scary. But it says here, we shifting the connotation away from meetings. So if you have a definition that fellowship is about meetings, who likes attending meetings? Huh? No. So if church to you is going to a meeting, what do you think to skip some of that? Because meetings are... But who likes to visit with friends? You'll do that. So when the church actually becomes the family of God and that we are actually together, we value this, that we will drive the kilometers that we drive because we're going to be with family. I'm not going to a meeting. I'm going to be with my brothers and my sisters. If we see it, if we value this, I remember when I came into the... I've been part of the Wellington AM congregation for 24 years. I came in as a student. And I came in the first Tuesday when we called it life groups, community. I was like, why do I want to give up a Tuesday evening to go to this meeting? I've been at church on Sunday. And then the first time I went, I was like, I get this. I need to be amongst family. And then... just non-stop going for 24 years. Something changed in my heart that this church, as I said, I came out of a family where my dad was an alcoholic. I was actually a very broken young man through those things. But it was this family that I got healed.
Yeah.
That I actually learned the things of God. I was an introvert. I couldn't speak in front of people. I was a broken young man. And in this family, the Lord healed me. He's raised me up. I was a son in his house. This is the beauty of family. We belong to a family. We abide to Jesus, a relationship with Jesus. We belong to a family. And then the last one is contribute. All right. You're also serious. Let me tell a funny story.
I hope it's funny. Yeah. I hope it's funny. So did you hear of Pig and Chicken that wanted to start a breakfast business? Have you ever heard of Pig and Chicken that wanted to start a breakfast business? Huh? So, Chicken comes to Pig and he says, Pig, we need to start a breakfast business. And Chicken is like, okay, tell me, what is this business all about? He says, no. You provide the eggs, or I'll provide the eggs, and you provide the bacon. For the one, it was a sort of giving of what he has, but the one, it was a food sacrifice.
Yeah.
It was giving of everything. It was a contribution. It wasn't just... giving the safe parts by giving it. For Pig, it basically cost his life. And I think for us in church, it will cost us. It will cost us our time. Because it takes time to drive in Zambia. I've seen. Like, it's so many kilometers, but then we sit, we drive. And then it's amazing. I've been tested in my patience like never before. Like, I've seen that fruit is not been growing in me as strong as it should be.
It is like, this is a confession. Like,
I'm like, wow, Lord, I still need to become more like you in this area. Like, come, Lord Jesus, just wash me.
Make me more like you and more patient. And it's like, it will take your time.
But I don't have time. If you value this, you will take time.
Yeah.
You make it a priority.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians speaks about, I missed that scripture. where it speaks about don't neglect the gathering of the saints.
Yeah, that's okay.
But there's something of that when I contribute, when I give, it costs me my time. Actually, I actually come a few minutes early to help pack the chairs. I actually come and I say, where can I serve? What can I give? Because church is for me not just to come and sit. Church is for me to actually partake. Because
yes.
Who have you felt that when you start partaking in something, you felt more part?
Yes.
When you actually start doing something. And I want to test it. If you feel on the outskirts and you feel like you don't belong, get in the middle. Do you have this random tallies? Roundabout, like
merry-go-rounds.
That goes like, if you sit on the sides, you feel like you have to hold on. But the moment you got into the middle, you can sit like, it's much easier. But if you're on the outskirts of family, it will feel like you have to do every effort to hold on. And motivate yourself to be at times. But when you're in the mix of it, when you give, you're giving your life. I want to call us to be pigs. That's not in a sense that we give everything.
Yes.
That it's for us, we don't just give eggs. Jesus has given his life.
Yes.
We can give of us for the church.
Can I hear an amen on that one?
Yeah.
We not only give our time, but we also give our talents.
Yes.
You have gifts. You have certain talents that Jesus has given you. Use it to serve one another. If you can make tea, come make some tea. If you can bribe, bribe. If you can love, love. If you can pray, pray. If you can lead worship, come do that. Then Morris don't have to lead worship and preach. If you have a desire to lead worship but you can't play an instrument, learn. YouTube. There's a guy called Mark the Guitar Guy. He teaches you to play guitar in 30 days. I don't believe that, but he teaches you some good things. Maybe you should pick up an instrument. Maybe when you were a kid, like when I was small, I used to take my spray bottle, the odor. And I'm like singing in front of the radio. Never knew that I would actually lead worship. Until the day that I got saved. And suddenly that desire came up in my heart. And I want to love Jesus by singing. What is your talent? Will you contribute by bringing your time and your talents? And then the last thing is we contribute by giving our treasures. They shared that all things in common. No one had a need. The sharing of the time, the talents, and the treasures. There was something of this. Our connection is much deeper than just a meeting. We are family. And if you read Acts, when the family of God gets to be this family, it says in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily. When we get to be a family that's healthy, that abides in Jesus. We have this vibrant, alive relationship with Jesus. We don't just come and get our fix when we come to a Sunday. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's like we actually in the week we're seeking Him. Because the Bible says, "If you seek Me and search for Me with all your heart, you will find Me." You don't just search Him on Sunday. You're searching with other brothers during the week.
Yes.
You abide. So there's this abiding with Jesus. There's a belonging to family that we actually can look one another in the eyes and say, I belong to you. You belong to me.
Yes.
We are family. And then all hands on deck. For us to get everything to get done, it's not just the leader's responsibility. It's all of us our responsibility. So where can you contribute? Your time, your talents, and your treasures.
Yeah.
Ask Jesus. Ask Him, where can I give of myself? And do that.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. I want to transition here.
So I want to tell you, a disciple of Jesus, a believer of Jesus, is somebody who abides in Jesus, belongs to the family, and contributes.
And God has called you to make disciples. So what is He asking you to do? He's asking you to come and help others to abide in Jesus. He's asking you to help others to belong to family. And He's helping you others, or to help others to also start contributing. So maybe you're the only one that's really doing everything. Start bringing others in. And let's start making disciples of Jesus. And when we do this, God's going to add to the family of God. Now, I've asked Marnus to just come and share what... He was in an accident. Maybe Marnus, just come stand with me. And how contribution of the family actually... how the family actually rallied around them in a very difficult situation. Yeah. And the reason I asked him to do it, because I want to show you that, and I could ask any one of the team, they've got stories of contribution, that actually this team are just normal people in Wellington and congregation. They're not missionaries. They're electricians, teachers, school kids. There are normal people that came and contribute of their time, their talents, and their treasures. Some of them paid. Some of these guys took leave, unpaid leave, to be here. And there's something of contribution to do that. So I want you to hear that. So I can ask any one of them to share in this, but I want to use this story for two reasons. One, so that you can hear how the church rallied around it. And then secondly, I believe that the Lord actually want to do something to this testimony that we can pray for people today.
Amen.
So let's
give it to Marnus. Go for it.
Thanks everybody for the privilege to share. I've listened to many of your stories the past 24 hours, and your stories are many much worse than mine. But yeah, thank you for listening to this. I just want to read this one sentence in Philippians. Mark reminded me of this verse last night. Philippians 2 verse 10 that says, "But at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Yes.
At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.
Yes.
So you'll understand where this comes from now. So at the 412 conference in 2023, I don't know if some of you were there, it rained a lot. One of the elders preached about the seed falling on the hard ground and the soft ground, and one of the seeds was the seeds that fell among the thorns, and the cares and the successes of this life entangled it, and it started to die. And I said to the Lord, "That's me. I was on fire for you, but my job, the successes, and the worries of this life, it started to entangle." And I asked Him. And this is a dangerous prayer to us, but come and clean my garden. Come and take out the weeds. So that same weekend, it rained a lot, and my tractor was stuck in the mud, and it spun down, up to its belly, onto the mud. So I didn't know how I'm going to get out there. Mara said, "Learn on YouTube to learn an instrument, but don't learn on YouTube how to get the tractor out of mud," because that's what I tried and it didn't work. So somebody told me to put a pole on the side of the tractor wheel. I can speak to you because most of you are farmers, so I know you know tractors. So put a pole on the side of the tractor wheel, both sides, and as you start to climb out, the extra length will grip and get out of the mud. So I tried that. I switched on the tractor. My most beautiful wife was taking a nap in the house, and my kids were watching a movie. Far away from where I was. So I switched on the tractor, and I thought, if it's not going to work, I'm going to just jump off. So when I switched on the tractor, the wheel started to spin and the pole started to get a grip. But what I didn't think was that the tractor spins around its own axle. So as soon as it stopped, the nose came over and I tried to jump off, but my foot was stuck under the brake pedal. And it came over me and it crushed me completely in the mud. So I was lying in the mud going down because the tractor spun, the mud was soft. So I went in the mud, my face going down into the mud, and the tractor's wheel was now above me, spinning above my head. And I knew I'm going to die now. I screamed help as loud as I can, but on a farm nobody hears you. So I just screamed help, help, but nobody heard me, and I went down and down into the mud. And the tractor, and there's so many things that goes through your mind at that moment. like, where's the Lord now? You've been following him for so long, and it hurts. It's really painful all over. Everything is hurting, and you're never going to say goodbye to your kids again. You're never going to see them again. You're never going to say goodbye to your wife again. Even your kids, what are they going to see when they get there? Is your head going to be decapitated? Are you going to drown in the mud? All that stuff happened in 2 seconds. And then something in my heart just quieted me and said, scream the name of Jesus. So I knew that was the next face I'm going to see. So sorry for you who don't like loud sounds, but I must do this now. I just screamed, Jesus! Over the valley. It echoed far, far, because nobody could hear me. And I screamed it many times. I just screamed his name as I went down into the mud. And when I opened my eyes, my wife came around with a car, and she was spinning around the corner, and she came down. I wanted to switch off the tractor, and as I took my hand out to switch off the key, the steering wheel just broke off my arm like that, and it was just hanging. So I was stuck, and all my second plans and third plans was taken away from me. So I was completely helpless, and I just saw my wife coming, and she tried to switch off the tractor, and when she switched it off, there was this quietness, but now you're still under the tractor. Nobody can lift it up. We were later about 20 farmers around me, and everybody just stood and watched. And it was really painful, and the ambulances came late, and they said, you cannot just lift up the tractor if you have crush wounds, because you can get a brain... aneurysm. So you must first be stabilized before you can take the weight off. So the ambulances came, they let a chopper come from Cape Town because they thought my back was broken because I lost all the feeling everywhere in my back and my legs. And then after an hour, the excavator came, and the excavator lifted the tractor from me. And as I said to Mark last night, it really just felt like the day I gave my life to the Lord, that release of all the weight, all the heaviness from me, was I immediately got the feeling back in my legs, and I started to push from under the tractor, and they took me to a hospital, and they took me for a full body x-rays, and the doctor said, are you sure that the tractor fell on you? Because you just broke your arm. You have no fractures anywhere in your whole body. But he said the chances that I can use my arm again is very slim. And then afterwards, Motors came, he prayed for me, and as he prayed for me, my thumb started to wiggle like this, and not immediately, it was a few weeks later, he prayed for me again, and this finger started to wiggle, and today I have everything back again that I had, and more. But I just want to share about how the family came around. So my family stays far away at the sea. So the people that came when I was under the tractor was my church family, the community, Israel. All the people came to my wife. They started prayer groups. They started to bring food for my wife for 2 weeks after the accident. They opened their hearts for us. They opened their lives for us. And the community rallied so much around us today. And it's really something that kept us through this. And I'm just so thankful for that. I just want to say one more thing. I said to him last night, I've realized afterwards that many of us has a tractor on us sometimes. It's not a physical tractor, but it can be family or relationships or finances or something. And there comes a time where you have nothing left. You have no other options. And to just give it over to Jesus. Amen. At his name, every knee will bow. Yeah.
So we would like to pray with those who feel that there's a weight upon you. It could be a weight of finances, maybe it's difficult, or it could be a weight of entrusting the Lord for you. And we actually want to create a moment where we can say the name of Jesus and stand with you. None of us actually that's here can heal anybody or change your circumstances, only Jesus. It was impossible. All these plans were gone. And the only plan was to shout the name of Jesus and to call upon the name of Jesus. At the mention of that name, we want to bring all these weights and these heaviness. we're going to trust Jesus with you today.